We are clear, according to Derek Brandale, for the Real Kipper and Bourne show. I'm Nick Kyprios. He's Justin Bourne. He's Sammy McKee, along with Jen Rolnick. We'll be with you with the next 2 hours on Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. You can always get our podcast wherever you get your pods. If you can't catch us live, and give us a text at 590-590. We'll see if Sammy can get your thoughts and ideas out at some point in the next 2 hours. Just before we went and kicked off the show, you mentioned Josh Hosang.
Yeah.
What is going on with Josh Hosang?
He's got a hip-hop album out.
No way.
Yes. Dude, he scored like, he had 35 points in 45 games for the Marlies in 2022. And so I checked his elite prospects today, see what he's up to or whatever. And after seeing a tweet, they had a hip-hop album out. There's no hockey.
So you,
I think he's just doing the hip-hop thing. And I got to tell you, it's pretty good.
Are you
good.
A hip-hop guy?
I am, yeah.
You are?
My whole life, that's kind of been my dad and, like emo depressing stuff. But mostly hip-hop.
Was it that long ago that we thought he'd be a not just a good player, but maybe a great player in the island.
Super talented.
To a guy that needed some time to readjust, get himself with the Toronto Maple Leaf organization, and a guy that we legitimately thought could come in and win a spot for the Leafs, to hip-hop.
Hip-hop. He's 28 now. He's 28. And he didn't play last year.
That's prime years for a hockey player.
That's prime year for rapping, too.
Yeah, he didn't. Well, strike while the iron's hot here. I remember 2 years ago, we had a show together then, and he had a really good training camp for the Leafs.
I remember that.
And at one point, he actually scored some goals. He had like a run, a good play.
Yeah.
And I remember having the discussion, should Hosang get some run with the Leafs? And yeah, now he's got a track called Poppy for MVP.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got something like
that. Was that before the last eight games?
That might Kipper have been 2022 like as well.
No, I'm fine with it.
But
if he can win it, it would help a lot.
One of them was Hobby to a Passion. Like, I think he's turned the page on. The album's called Same. It's on Spotify.
Wow, I'm definitely checking that out on the subway ride home.
I think you'll like it.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it.
I was ready for the awkward, this is going to hurt to listen to. I was like, all right.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right.
Just one more thing on Josh Hosang and anyone like him. There's just some guys that are just talented in anything that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And according to you, he fits the bill now with the hip-hop.
Yeah, he's got skills. He does.
With the hip-hop.
He's doing the hip-hop. The hipping
and the game. The game, the skill, when he was like 14, 15 playing in the GTHL.
Unbelievable.
There was talk about him having exceptional status, and this guy was going to be Pat Kane.
Yeah, there's an interesting conversation about what ended up going wrong for Josh. People lack of conforming, but should he have to conform? A lot of debate about how he was treated in the early days. And
feels like a guy that should have played more than 53 career NHL games.
Yeah.
And he played in the Olympics in 2022, too, which is pretty interesting. Really? Yeah, he's on that Canada team.
There are some guys, and I've played with a few over my career, too, that just think that however they understand the game or whatever they think that they need to do to get to the next level is on their terms, or they have better ideas of what's being asked of you coached into you. And he appeared for me from my seat watching him over the years and maybe talking to a few people that have dealt with him over the years, that this guy just completely marched to his own drum.
Well, and what's challenging is sometimes you get bad coaching. Sometimes people want you to play a way that you shouldn't. On the other hand, sometimes people see something you don't and should see. And so it's hard to know as a player, I've done it. I've had success everywhere doing it my way. Should I be changing it to do it this guy's way?
Maybe it's time to get Josh Hosang on the show.
Have a little chit chat about how it went. Yeah.
I'd welcome him on for sure. Awesome. I'd love to hear his story right now.
If only we had somebody around here that did that kind of thing.
Yeah, some sort
a
of
producer.
Producing. Oh, is that me?
That'd be you.
Oh, okay. I'll try that.
All right. Put him on the list.
All right. Day off for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah. In this
probably
hour.
We talked about Josh Hosang for 5 minutes.
Edition of our show, which I think was a really good idea taking off today because this between Saturday's win against the Montreal Canadiens and playing Thursday night against the Philadelphia Flyers, this will be the last lengthy break.
Oh, is it?
Between games for the rest of the year. 18 games to go.
Yeah.
9 the rest of this month. 9 in April, and then boom, puck drop, game one, boys. It's going to be fast.
Yeah, and you know, I know the way Sheldon likes to do his breaks, so they would have played Montreal Saturday night. You know, you get home late Sunday morning, whatever, sleep in. Monday,
Gardner was open?
Gardner's open.
Okay.
Monday, you come to the rink, you get your treatment, you do all that stuff, check in, watch the video, get that out of the way, and then take the day off that's a Tuesday. You know, like when you're actually at home, set up so it really feels like rest. I think that's a good way to do it. Now, you would know as much as anyone, you barely practice from here to the end of the season. 20 minutes, 25 minutes, like, I don't think the guys will see a ton of practice time. And this year, they don't have 6 new guys to indoctrinate, so just a little bit easier, too.
Just saw a nice picture of John Tavares and his family down at the, from his Instagram, down at the CN Tower, walking around, enjoying a nice sunny day. So
gorgeous day today.
Gorgeous.
13 degrees. We were talking about when courses open up around here.
Oh, it's that time of year.
Oh, we're starting to get the thoughts.
Yeah. Boy, it's just that extra hour of sunlight.
It's the best
thing
ever.
Thank you.
Best thing ever. Best day of the year when it goes ahead.
I walked the dog last night. It's 7 o'clock. The sun's up.
In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Joshua Cloak, Toronto Maple Leaf writer for The Athletic, and we'll get his thoughts on trade deadline and where the Leafs go from here. Also, Jim Ralph. We haven't had Ralphie on in a while, boys. Thanks for tracking him down there, producer of the year.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Very excited to have Ralphie
so
today.
So we'll get Ralphie's
what
thoughts.
What do we do now?
We'll get Ralphie's thoughts on the battle maybe still in the crease.
Yep.
On where he sees it shaping up in the next 18 games. But I don't know where you guys list this in terms of storylines, but Nick Robertson had some choice words to say to Terry Koshin of the Toronto Sun about
National Post,
about being unhappy.
Shall I read it?
Sure.
About his being unhappy with his role. I understand it, but I'm not going to sit here and say I'm happy, Robertson said. I want to play, but I understand my contract situation. If it wasn't the way it was, maybe it'd be a different situation, but it is what it is. He's not happy.
Yeah, I know. And my first thought is, unless you're Austin, Willie, Mitch, or John Tavares, most of us aren't happy.
Yeah.
How about that?
I mean,
like, you care to...
I've been so worried about how I would phrase this right now, but like, shut up. No? Like, I no disrespect for a guy who's a good player. I just mean, in this case, like, just do your part. You're the only guy who could go down. You or Nyes. Nyes, obviously, he's playing on the first line. So, yeah, you're the guy. It's the logical thing. It's nothing, whatever. Just do your part for the team. Be a team guy. Go, yeah, I get it.
I can't argue with that.
No, I can't either.
Right?
You know, until you got 19 points. What obligation do they have to, oh, he didn't want to hurt his feelings. Like, it's a National Hockey League.
I don't think that the Leafs just surprised him with sending him down. I would imagine they would have had a couple of conversations, including we need to do this because we're in a bit of a pickle here.
Yeah.
But you'll come back up and you'll be in the mix. And
here he is.
And we got 18 games to go. It's not like we expect you to play 0 games in 18.
You could be a big part of this thing. We need you.
You can still get your opportunities to show that we can't take you out of the lineup.
Yeah.
Which he didn't necessarily do in the last 3 weeks.
No, it's not like he's grabbed on to some role that they like, you know, we got to keep this guy happy here.
I just don't like it because it's hard enough between now and game one to really get the team set with their mind, you know, their confidence, their feeling like we're one, and we still haven't had that yet. I think these 18 games are really important.
But feeling like we're one is not the same as 20 guys or 23 guys or more feel like they're equals. Not everyone's equals. You have a role to play. I regret saying shut up. But I don't regret the idea that this is a case just to be the good soldier and say, you know, yeah, they had to do what they had to do. I'm going to come back and grab my spot. You know, like I'm going to be better for it. I was happy to get some development time.
It just screams out that this is a guy that probably should have or will trade at some point. Like, it just feels to me that he should be playing third or but second line not, minutes for the Phoenix Coyotes.
Sammy, it's not happening today. It's not happening tomorrow.
No.
And it's not happening until your season is over.
Nah.
So I don't care about that. I care about now you've got a guy back in the room who's unhappy, dragging his lip around,
yep.
And how does it affect the rest of the team?
Well, this is the thing, is the only thing you do by that is put yourself at risk of the team saying, we just rather you not be around if you're going to be a drain energy vacuum. We just rather you not be around. And then when you go to the next team, you have a reputation.
And I'm so surprised he would put himself in a position like this. Like, the team is struggling now to get back on track and have people believe that they can win a first round matchup between either Boston or Florida.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal between now and game one. And having a guy publicly say, me first, is not ideal for this hockey club right now.
You know, maybe I've got it all out of context or whatever. You know, I'm not exactly sure. I'm reading the quote, but it's just, there are times, there's a pecking order, there's a hierarchy in any sport, not just hockey, in any office space that you walk into. And generally, until you've earned your keep, it's not the right time to...
Yeah. I think there's ways that he could state he might be a little frustrated, but his choice of words here really set him up.
Yeah.
To say that if you're not happy,
obviously rather be in than out, but I'm happy to get the work in and looking forward to getting back at it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Agreed. All right. As promised, let's bring in Toronto Maple Leaf writer for The Athletic, Joshua Cloak. Last time we saw you, where were Mount Mile,
Denver,
Mountain
maybe?
High, Denver, yeah. Skiing on a patio.
Just having pints on a patio.
Yeah.
I was. You guys have forced me inside today. I don't know how I feel about that.
Not for long.
For the rest of the year, you got to find a patio for us, okay? That's going to be the deal here moving forward.
It was a Leafs off day, and I was tempted. I really was. I was tempted to.
You had the weather.
I'm in beautiful Hamilton. I wanted to, but I also didn't want to leave things to chance with some of the Hamilton locals. I think we've all spent enough time here to know what that might be like. So took it indoors.
Joshua, we can go in many directions, and we will, including the deadline for you. But I don't know how much you caught of our conversation about Nick Robertson and how have your dealings been with him over the year, and were you surprised to hear him say that he's unhappy right now with his situation with the Toronto Maple Leafs?
No, I'm not surprised to hear that at all. If only because if we're being frank, Nick Robertson is a terrific quote. He always has been.
Yeah.
Nick Robertson is filled with confidence. And as such, he's not afraid to speak his mind. I mean, I go back, I've covered Nick, you know, since he arrived here, and especially with the Marlies, you know, Nick has never been afraid to speak his mind. I think back to one of the injuries he sustained, and I remember going and talking to him with the Marlies, and he said, well, throughout my time injured, I never really heard from the Leafs much at all. It was me doing my work to recover. And I thought that was pretty inflammatory. You put it in the story. He was called up, I think, 2 days later. I just think it's difficult with Nick Robertson because he does one or two things really, really well. One of them being shoot the puck. You know, his shot is one of the best on the Leafs. But it's the other elements of his game that I don't want to say struggle. They're just a work in progress. And I think Sheldon Keefe's leash with him is really, really tight. Sheldon Keefe wants all his players to be really defensively responsible. We've seen that this year. We've seen it with him, you know, benching David Kampf, benching William Nylander. So if you're Nick Robertson, when you're not scoring, And then you're not really doing a lot defensively. I think that's where his lineup position kind of comes into question. Is he unhappy? Sure, because I think he knows he can score, and he has scored. He scored a lot. He scored at a really decent clip this season. And he has every right to be frustrated because he keeps going up and down. And I think if you're him, you wonder, do I fit in this picture long term under Sheldon Keefe? I think it's fair for him to ask questions. I don't know if he's going to get the answers that he wants, right?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. You know, we were discussing sort of, you know, the team pulling in the same direction. And when you look at this lineup early on, we kind of felt like it was Team A and Team B. You know, it was like those core guys and a bunch of guys that are kind of taped on, and let's see if this thing, this tail can be pulled behind the rest of the Team A. But it feels a little bit, to me, a little bit more cohesive. Guys have found different roles, and you're getting a bit more depth scoring at times. How do you feel about the concept of the Leafs as a team and their cohesion just a month removed from playoffs?
Everything changed that night in Ottawa, didn't it? You know, I know that we love as you know, storytellers to try and think that there was always an aha moment, yeah. Something where the script flipped and the plot really began to make sense. It's not always the case. I really think a lot of it was the case in Ottawa. Yeah. I think there were some really ugly and hard conversations within the locker room about what kind of team they want to be. I don't think it's a surprise that after that game, you're seeing some players that were really bubble players really turn a corner, Ryan Reeves being one of them. I think if you're Ryan Reeves, you probably say, well, what am I supposed to be on this team? So I think there were really some really difficult conversations. You look at the 7-game win streak that they ripped off afterwards without their best defenseman in Morgan Riley. And I think you're seeing a lot of players buy into their roles in a way that they hadn't in the beginning of the season. Tyler Bertuzzi's one. Max Domi as well. I thought he looked great on the wing against Montreal. I think that's where Sheldon Keefe wants him to be. And I think it's difficult, you guys both know this, when you're a player that comes into a team, you're so eager to find your role and to really put your stamp on the team. Sometimes it's as simple as saying, well, maybe I have this vision of what I want to be. Maybe I'm not going to be that. Maybe if I just do what the coach kind of asks me to do, it's going to benefit everybody around me. And I think you're seeing a lot of that from a number of guys in the team. I mean, you're also seeing guys outperforming, you know, their expectations, Bobby McMahon being one of them, right? So I think you're seeing, we knew coming into this season that the team was very top heavy. And I think you're seeing a little bit of leveling off in terms of your top players, maybe not producing at the clip they were earlier, and then some of those kind of secondary guys raising the bar. When you do that and you find that middle ground, I think that's a better recipe for success, right?
We're talking to Joshua Cloak, who follows the Toronto Maple Leafs for The Athletic. So what you just spoke of, the Ottawa game, since yeah. Then they won 7 in a row and 9 out of 10. Yet the following week, 2 losses to the Boston Bruins. So they got 18 games to go here, Joshua. Is there enough in those 18 games that can keep the feel real here? Or will we always go back to those last 2 games against Boston and say, the Leafs are underdogs here?
Well, I think it's the latter. I think they're underdogs here. Mm-hmm. You watch those games. I was at the game. I was in Boston. It wasn't necessarily a lack of effort, but the Bruins just looked like they had an idea of how to win an ugly, tough, physical game that the Leafs were just kind of striving to get to. And Jim Montgomery kind of made an allusion to that after the game. He said, in terms of the physicality, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said it was a little too late from the Leafs. And or I'm sure there's a section of the fan base that likes Tyler Bertuzzi dropping the gloves. You like Max Domi going after Brad Marchand. That kind of stuff, that attitude, that physicality, just that, we have all these like buzzwords for it, but just that pop, that desire, that needs to come from the beginning. And I think what this Leafs team has been accused of for too long, and I think they can still be accused of it, is kind of waking up sometimes in the third period and saying, oh, right, we're a really good team. We have a lot of talent. You know, we saw that in the Columbus games earlier this season, and we saw that in Boston in terms of the physicality they brought. They need to bring that from the start of the game. And I think in both Boston games, the Bruins were just so excellent at managing the game, dictating the tempo in a way that I just don't think this Leafs team has figured out how to do yet. They did it in their Southwestern road trip against some, you know, kind of marginal teams. They need to figure out how to do it against teams above them in the standings and frankly have a lot more experience than them too, right?
Josh, one of the guys that was at that game wasn't able to participate. Joel Edmondson was watching from up above. He would have helped with a little extra bit of edge knowing his gameplay. You have a feature out on him in The Athletic today. Tell us what you learned in doing a feature piece on Joel Edmondson.
I learned that you can't really judge a book by its cover, because the first time we talked to Joel Edmondson, which was right after the game in Boston, which I found a little confusing that they would give him to us then, but whatever. He seemed a little, I don't know, run of the mill. He's obviously in a brand new situation, and he just seemed very, you know, nice guy, tries hard, loves the game, that kind of guy.
Right.
But then I made an effort afterwards to call a number of players that were on that 2019 Blues team and Craig Berube as well. And they all essentially said, we don't feel as connected as we did through rounds 3 and 4 without a guy like Joel Edmondson. And I know that, you know, again, there's a section of the fan base that finds intangibles like that hard to bear, and they don't know if there's a point of that. It reminded me as well of conversations I had with a few defensemen on the Golden Knights when they were here a few, you know, weeks past, and they all said the same thing. That togetherness, that feeling of, you know, there's no teammate left behind when you go deep into a playoff run, that is so vital, because everybody needs to stay bought into what you're doing every single game, every single day. And Joel Edmondson, as I've learned, is that guy. He's the guy that, you know, come morning skate, you know, in the hours before morning skate, he's the guy in the lobby making sure everyone is in good spirits. He's the guy that, you know, after the game, he's the one organizing everybody to get together, and so everybody feels part of it. He's also the guy that, you know, knows how to have fun. And as I learned, as Robbie Thomas told me, that first year that he was there in 2019, he was the one bringing him out. Robbie Thomas is a rookie then. He's the one bringing him out with the veterans. He's the one literally going behind the bar at these restaurants in St. Louis and putting in, you know, his iPhone and changing the music to songs that the Blues wanted to hear. These are silly little things, but I think to keeping a team cohesive, they matter.
He checks a lot of boxes, except the one that says he shoots left.
He shoots with his hand, yeah.
Right? So what does that do for us guessing the pairs every game from here on in?
Well, we were talking about Nick Robertson earlier, and it seems like these guys get grouped together, but Nick Robertson and Timothy Liljegren are guys that have always just been right there on the fringe in terms of really solidifying their spot. The big takeaway for me that game in Boston, the game in Montreal, is that Sheldon Keefe really wants Timothy Liljegren to work as a right shot defenseman in the playoffs. Exhale. I don't know if that's going to work. It's a big ask. I think this is a role that the player has really wanted. You look at the last two seasons where Timothy Liljegren has continued to ascend. The trust in him come playoff time hasn't been there. It feels like Sheldon Keefe is kind of saying to Timothy Liljegren, I don't know if I fully trust you yet, but I do trust that you shoot right, and I'm going to give you every opportunity to prove me. I don't know if it's right or wrong. Like, I don't know. You know, I'm going to give you an opportunity here. And I think that he sees Timothy Liljegren as the type of player who, when he has free reign to skate with the puck and skate through traffic in the neutral zone, that's when he's at his best. And he can do that knowing that he has steady Eddie, Joel Edmondson, behind him. It's a big ask. That's going to be one of the big questions. And I know we always have questions about Timothy Liljegren. I feel like he's starting to get a bit of a raw deal here in Toronto. He's not in Justin Hall territory yet, but he's the one that I think a lot of people, and a lot of opposition forwards are going to have circled as the guy that can he truly fit as that right shot defenseman, not in the regular season, but when things really clench up in the playoffs, it's a big question mark for me.
Josh, one more before we let you go, and that is, did Brad Treliving do a good enough job to prepare Leaf Nation that I can't, or nor do I have the assets with me to plug every hole that we're suffering from?
Well, I mean, I do think Brad Treliving is a lot better than his predecessor in terms of putting his face out and his voice out in front of the cameras and explaining his position. Kyle Dubas never really loved to go on the radio shows and do press conferences. I think Brad is much better at that, at explaining where he's at. And anybody can pull up the Leafs cap friendly page and say, what are you supposed to trade away here? There was an insistence within the Leafs to not trade their first round pick unless a really, really good offer came up. And I'm talking about, you know, the players that maybe a lot of Leafs fans looked at and said, well, why couldn't we get that guy? That guy, whoever he was, I guarantee wasn't worth a first round pick in Brad Treliving's mind. I think he did a good enough job at explaining that he was limited in terms of assets, and a good enough job at explaining he values Easton Cowan, he values Fraser Minton, as he should. But now what do you do with that first round pick? Because you better be saving it for a big offseason swing. It really feels like that's what we're building towards. Is Brad Treliving really sticking his hooks into the roster in the offseason, really remaking the blue line for sure? And I think that's when the first round pick is going to come into play, come the draft time, because I think he probably looked at what was available and said, I can probably get more out of this pick in terms of it being currency in June than I can now. I felt he explained that well enough. I don't know how you guys feel, but I think it's pretty clear he didn't have the assets, and he knows he didn't, right?
All right, Josh, still plenty of daylight savings time. Sun, lose the hoodie, go find yourself a patio.
Now that I've got clearance from you, I can...
Just run it by your toddler and see how that goes.
Toddlers are allowed on patios.
Yeah, they are. They are. And pets, too. Yeah. Thanks for doing this, Josh.
Anytime, boys. Take care.
See ya. Thanks,
Joshua. Cloak. Anything stand out for you in that conversation? Just the difference again, the vibe, much different vibe. I mean, that Treliving at least got ahead of it. Kyle Dubas never, almost as if Kyle was scared to come out and disappoint. Maybe.
But he didn't have to get ahead of it. Right? He landed someone for every hole they ever had. They brought seven players in last year, six or seven players.
Yeah.
I think a huge part of the Treliving plan is the public perception.
Yeah.
Where, like, I mean, I respect the guy for coming on our show like he did on deadline day. He does a lot more media availabilities or whatever. And he just has been very diligent on getting the message out there that we're broke.
I think
we're
it's
broke.
Important.
We're broke. Yeah. We're broke. Yeah. We have nothing. We can't pay. We can't buy. Can't do anything. We're broke because of the last guy.
Yeah. You don't want to put your reputation on the line and make a bad deal just for the sake of appeasing a crowd that thinks that we're one trade away from winning a Stanley Cup.
Which they're not.
I think he knows that.
I don't know. We got a lot of heat yesterday for negativity, boys.
We did?
No, it's not negativity. It's just I'm calling it the way you see it.
I'm not worried about that. I'm saying I think it's we talked about half measures leading up to the deadline. And it sounds like rationale and justification for the half-cooked, I don't know, we'll spend three or four draft picks and maybe that'll quiet the crowd a bit, but it's probably not enough to put us over the hump. Like, if they lose in Game 7 this year, it's going to be hard to sit here and not be like, hey, maybe we could have spent that first on someone that made a difference.
You mean when?
Sure.
But what was out there that's going to make them not lose Game 7 to the Bruins in the first round this year?
See, you know, I have an issue with people throwing that term out because
first.
No, just that what's out there.
Yeah.
And
get creative.
For you, me, everyone else, you go to your trade list, you see your UFAs.
Yeah. We're all reliant on six insiders.
Yeah. there's 750 guys in the league. Your job is to find the trade that no one talked about or what's out there.
Tomas Hertl.
There's everything that's out there, and I assure you, 98% of it has a price.
Yeah.
The question is, can you get creative? Do you have the price? Can you turn something into something that no one else envisioned and no one else thought of? That's the making of a great general manager.
Okay.
I mean, not you and me sitting there going, ah, there's nothing out there.
No, there's something out there. The only player possible is Chris Tanev.
We're just not paid to think of it.
No one
like a general manager is.
No one was talking about Connor Dewar.
Connor Dewar came out of nowhere.
Anyways,
that's right. Let's go to break and get to Ralphie.
We're going to go to break. We still got game time, don't we?
No, we got Ralphie. And then we got game time in the second hour.
Oh, gosh.
He's checked out, by the way. Yeah, it's off the rails Tuesday for Kip. We'll explain more later.
Yeah. All right, we're back after these words.
Get smarter when you listen to Hockey Talk, the Hockey PDO cast with Dmitry Filipovich. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. One of the most talked about players lately, the New York Rangers, Matt Rempe. Had a situation last night versus New Jersey, and suspension just came in. And we'll talk about Matt, and we'll get in a lot more detail on it in our national hour on the top of the show. And we're also going to welcome in Bruce Boudreau.
Yeah.
Gabby, former NHL coach, one of the most winningest coaches in history. We'll talk about that as well. But what's the latest news?
Sorry, just listening to Derek in my ear. You got four games for elbowing. This is elbowing.
Boy, was that elbowing.
Substantial force up and away, not accidental. Injury on the play. 10 games into his career.
All right. Let's welcome in another guy who probably should have been suspended once or twice in his pro career. Jim Ralph. Is he available or is he still fixing his hair?
That was the word we got. He's still doing his hair. But looking for the picture there, he looks all right.
Oh, his hair looks great in the still picture.
They're not moving.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes. You know, one day we're going to get you on a Zoom call. You know that, right?
Yeah, it's my Zoom's been out for 3 months now.
Post-pandemic, it died.
Hey, just the mere fact that you've heard of Zoom is a good start for you.
Yeah, I kept the, like, doing two fingers on the screen and pulling them apart, and that usually works.
So what's it like for you and Bonesy when they're off like for 3 or 4 days? Because for us on our Leaf Edition, it sucks.
Yeah, it gets a little tiresome of the days off, but it's on the other side. I mean, you know, they, what, 5 games in 8 days? Something like
yeah,
that.
They went, at a good stretch.
And I just thought they were out of gas last week in all the games. You know, even the ones they were able to win, like the Montreal game on Saturday. So I think it's a much needed rest for them to recharge and get back at it.
I'm actually so excited to have you on the show. It's been tragic not having you on more. I want to know your thoughts. Where are the Leafs at, Ralphie? Where is this team compared to previous years of the Leafs for you?
I actually like them. Probably, okay. you know, better than other years coming in. And you know, I probably shouldn't say this publicly, but I've said it to Joe. I like the fact that they're going to open on the road this year. I like the fact that they're going to go into a playoff series and they're going to say whether it's Boston or Florida, they got absolutely no chance. And they're the underdogs. I mean, what's it been, 5 straight playoff series? They've had home ice advantage. And they went 1-4 or 1-5 on home ice last year. You know, the death of this team always seems to be expectations. And as soon as you write them off or you say they're done or they're the underdogs, they seem to surprise you. So I don't think the plan going into the week was to lose both games to Boston. But there's something about it that I think if they would have beat Boston both games, I would have been maybe a little more concerned for what's ahead in the next month or so.
Ralphie, I
agree. I totally agree.
I don't mind the underdog feeling or us against the world, and it has worked on occasion, and you hope it can for the Leafs. But a team that's put consecutive years of over 100 points, I would have thought this year that they wouldn't have to play that card. So let me ask you something, though. What is it in their lineup that has led them to this underdog feeling for you? Where are they still vulnerable that no one's going to give them a chance against Boston or Florida for you?
Well, I just think it's a recent history, Kip. You know, they had, home ice over Montreal and lost, home ice over Tampa the first time and lost. Then it was, thank God, we got Florida instead of Boston last year. They lost Columbus in the bubble. They were the favorites in that. I think it's their history more than anything, Kip, that, when they've gone in with these high expectations and this is the year and they got Riley and they got Luke Shen and, they're deep, and Nola Chari and Nick Foligno before that. That's kind of the other thing that, whether it turns out to be a benefit or not going into the playoffs as an underdog, when you look at, people complaining about what other teams did and other moves and, how great their teams are now that they've been able to stock up, go ahead and read through Conn Smythe Trophy winners. They're not midseason pickups. They're Kale McCarr, they're Victor Hedman, Andre Vasilevsky, Sidney Crosby, Alexander Ovechkin. Eventually, your top player has to be holding the cup in the Conn Smythe Trophy, whichever one that is. But it's not about necessarily the spare parts that are going to come in and save you. And I think now you're in a position where, you got to find out what you've got and who can elevate their game. And they've had enough kicks at it to find out.
Butch Goring, there, I found one for you.
But he wasn't that year, was
no,
he?
I don't know.
A couple years later, I forget him.
What was that, 1971, 82? Yeah.
And you know what? And Butch is the reason for all these trade deadline shows, too.
Yeah.
Because there's never been a better one since. Than the Butch Goring pickup by the Islanders.
Yeah.
Even when Ray Bourque went to Colorado from Boston, they didn't win the year he went. They won the following year.
Yeah, that's right.
Right about that. So then it's April 20th today. The Leafs are playing the Bruins. No, I'm just saying. Are playing the Bruins in game one in Boston. Who's your goalie?
Well, first of all, you scared me because I thought I forgot my son's birthday again.
Yeah, scared me too.
Threw a lot of people off the time warp there. Sorry.
Right now, I think obviously Samsonov has the edge, but I've always been a big fan of Joe Walsh, and I don't think he's quite back to the level he was, when he got hurt, and I think that's pretty understandable from a goaltender's perspective. You don't play for 3 months. I mean, I was healthy and I didn't play for 3 months and it would hurt, once you got back in. So I'd say right now, Samsonov's got the edge, but I think it's going to be pretty interesting down the stretch to see who ends up becoming the favorite between the two of them. And let's face it, it's a nice problem to have as opposed to, my God, we don't have anybody.
Mm.
It would be a nice little competition, I think, down the stretch.
Is it a real fair competition here, though, Ralphie? In a perfect world, would we not think that Leaf management would be leaning towards Joseph Woll? Because both these guys, if they're playing well, one really resonates a calmness that the other one doesn't. And how important would that be in the playoffs for you?
Oh, very much so. And that's why even, not that you wanted to get hurt last year, but when Woll went in against Florida, when Samsonov was hurt, I didn't feel any sense of panic because, you're down 3-0 in a playoff series. Sometimes a goalie change is something that can, turn things around and spark it. And we love Joseph Woll the way he played down the stretch last year. And if he can get anywhere close to that, I agree with you. I mean, I think... as opposed to the guy that's an unrestricted free agent, you hope you could, have success developing your own. And, whether Hildeby's, close to elevating himself to the next level remains to be seen. But, I think if it's a tie, Joseph Woll might at least start. But it also gives you options if somebody struggles early in a playoff series.
Part of the, I would say this, plays into your theory a little bit. Part of what I like is that there isn't some new group of forwards to say, oh, their leadership is going to, you know, take over the team, or their goal scoring is going to make the difference. It is squarely on Marner and Matthews and Willie and Tavares to a lesser extent too. How do you feel about where those guys are at? Are they finally ready at this stage of their career to have a playoff run where they frankly beat the other team's best players? And it hasn't happened a ton.
Yeah, no, I mean, now is every year you say it's the time. And now, like I said, Borny, I like the fact that now people are going to say no chance against Boston. You know, they've lost three straight playoff series to them. Now, you've also got to remember Boston's had home ice in the previous three series as well. But, you know, they've all gone seven games. And I would say that this Leafs team is now better prepared to play the Bruins in a playoff series than before. Do I think it'll be easier, that it's a slam dunk that they could win? No. But I'd say, I love the Edmondson acquisition. Connor Dewar, I guess we'll, you know, see where he fits in once you get Marner back in the lineup, and you have to reshuffle the lines. But I like the fact that they've got guys that are considered a little more dangerous back there.
You know, you mentioned the five games in eight nights. Maybe the break has been good now between Saturday and Thursday. Matthews in a cold spell, I think 2-8, if I'm not mistaken. Is no Marner. Like, when you look back at his season and the torrid pace that he had and the constant push on, can he get to 70? Can he get to 75? Did that kind of overwhelm him a little bit up until this point?
I don't know if it's overwhelmed, Kip. I will say, and a lot of it goes to the goal celebrations, I don't know if it means that much to him to hit a milestone in the regular season. He's done it with 60. A couple of years ago. And, you know, you don't ever, you know, his celebrations in games that are blowouts when he's had his hat tricks are very minimal. You know, they're not all about, yay, I'm one closer to the next milestone. So I don't know if I put that much importance on, you know, hitting 70 or things like that. I think, you know, for Austin Matthews, it's, you're going to be judged like Doug Gilmore and Wendell Clark and the guys before you. And that's having some success in the postseason. So, it was pretty incredible. And I mean, even though we say this, he could turn around and end up with, you know, another five or six goals in the next two games, and we're talking about it again.
Yeah, no, it definitely has tailed off a little bit, but it has been something to see which goals he celebrates and which ones he doesn't. All right, so, you know, they've got sort of 18 games down the stretch here. It doesn't seem likely that they can catch Boston. It doesn't seem likely that they can get caught from the other direction either. So what is it you want to see them do? What should they accomplish, or Sheldon Keefe accomplish, with this lineup between now and a month from now?
I think it's more mix and match the line combinations. You'll find some chemistry with the penalty killers, whether Dewar fits in there or not. And, I think that's what it does. It gives you that a little bit of a luxury to tinker with things. And, you know, hopefully the last week of the regular season going into the playoffs, you found combinations or even backup combinations that you can go to if it's not working. So I think that's the advantage. And, you know, we've seen the Leafs in a similar position when they've been in second, you know, where they've had, you know, two or three weeks before the playoffs to try to get things settled in. But I think that's the main thing. It's you don't have to ride the hot goalie because you need wins every night. So you can get that competition going to see who's sharper. And with some of the additions, you still have to figure out the line combinations at work and, you know, what the backup plans are that we've seen Sheldon Keefe go with before, whether it's loading up Marner with Matthews and Nylander at times. I think it gives you that luxury to test those out.
Does Jimmy Ralph's Toronto Maple Leafs have John Tavares centering the second line?
Let's put it this way. I don't like David Kam from the third line. And I think that's where the wing comes in. I think Max Domi's been much better at center than on the wing. So that would be my preference, whether you know, you want to say Tavares is two or three. I just like the depth down the middle when it's Matthews, Domi, and Tavares. And, you know, then, like we said, then the makeshift lines come in. Where do you put Duer? Where do you put Kampf? You know, where do you put Holmberg if he's in the lineup? So those are the things that, to me, are going to be interesting to see what Sheldon Keefe comes up with.
Hey, Ralphie. Welcome back, buddy. Too long.
Good to have you.
Hey, we're going to send you a camera, too, for Zoom.
You know, IR.
Enjoy the rest of the season, Ralphie. Appreciate it.
Hey, and you know what? I played most of my career hurt, too. I'm not looking for sympathy, but that's how some guys had hat tricks.
Yeah,
Jim Ralph, Thanks, Toronto Ralphie. Maple Leaf Thanks, Radio, guys. Color analyst, and all-round good funny guy.
Long lost friend of the show there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love his take. Because I haven't really voiced that take about the Bruins thing.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, if they've beaten him twice, it's like, oh boy, they're going to.
It's just my number one, which is bad, that this is my number one argument for why the Leafs would beat them. It's because sports are weird and unexpected things happen all the time, especially in the playoffs.
I would say also my number one argument. Though, the Leafs, you know, we've learned their trends. They, right when you think they're down and out,
yep,
is when they play their best games, 100%. Right?
100%. It's a dumb league.
Bingo.
It's a dumb league.
Bingo.
But it I mean, if everyone league. Had that take, all of a sudden they would become not underdogs anymore. So we need to suppress the take. For
32 teams have that opening puck drop.
Well, that's
coming out of training camp. They've got the best team. They need a little luck. I think 82 games is a long season to give you a true identity of what you can count on and what might be a crapshoot.
And what you can count on with this Leafs team is when they're supposed to win, they lose. And when they're supposed to be a laughing stock and blow it all up, they go on a tear. I mean, that is an undeniable fact. Every game they should win, they are embarrassed.
Until you get in the playoffs. Right, you're talking.
You're wrong because they've been favorites in five straight series and they lose.
They need to be dogs.
Yeah, but you have no proof that when they're underdogs, they come through.
Well, they were underdogs.
Where's that based on their history?
You're right in the playoffs as underdogs. So they haven't been underdogs since when?
They're good against Washington.
But they were good against Washington 7 years ago.
I want to remind you, like they've had a couple of at home. Chances to win.
A couple, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, a couple.
And.
Yeah, right when they're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
Bleh.
And they weren't underdogs. And they weren't underdogs.
No, that's the problem.
Right?
They were favorites.
The problem is like, as every series goes, you become.
Yeah, when you're up
a
three,
favorite
three wins
and an underdog. Yeah. And it's like, it's ebbs and flows. It's just a very delicate flower.
Yeah. Anyways, listen, I don't mind it. It can work. Psychologically, it can work, but a lot of things have to go right, for sure.
For sure.
No Tortorella. That's his second. That will be his second game suspension Thursday night.
Oh, yeah.
Against the Leafs. He's not behind the bench.
He will be. Is it here or is it in Philly?
I think it's here.
Oh, my God.
Can we get him on?
Well, there's just nobody more heartbroken. They don't get to hear the sound of their own voice in the Toronto media.
No.
Or is it in Philly? It might be in Philly.
Yeah, it's in Philly Thursday.
Yeah, okay, yeah. It's a tough building, no matter what.
That's going to be a tough one, too. And, you know, Torts will be in that room just jacking them right up. Because
no, he won't be. He can't be. I don't think you get to do coaching activities if you're, like.
He can be in his office.
Sure. Was he going to send a text?
And if he comes out of his office and goes and talks to the team, who's going to know about
suspend
it?
Suspend him again!
Hey, have you guys seen the Metro schedule the Leafs have
coming
up?
Yeah, it's all Metro teams.
Flyers, Hurricanes, Flyers, Capitals, Hurricanes, Devils, Capitals. There's actually an Oilers in the middle there, but two Flyers, two Canes, two Caps.
Metro's not very good, are they?
Well, Hurricanes might be the best.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get into that much more. Bruce Boudreau, after the break, is Real Kipper and Bourne goes national, and including... Off the top, Matt Rempe suspended 4 games. We're going to get into great detail on our thoughts of Rangers against the Devils last night that led to it. You're watching, you're listening to Real Kipper and Bourne.